may be seated in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a glorious God. How you doing, Sister Sandra? Sorry to just pick you out in the crowd, but there's a cloud raining over you in Jesus' name. Yeah, can you just receive the downpour that's coming over you? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, please. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Hallelujah. I've not forgotten about you, said the Lord. I've not forgotten about you. And your day is coming, and nobody can stop it. And when it manifests, oh, what a great and glorious day it will be. But right now, my daughter, I just want you to shout. Right now, I just want you to be. Right now, I just want you to celebrate, because I am doing a wonderful thing in you and for you. I got you covered, said the Lord. Just continue to trust me, and you will see my goodness, and you will see my glory. Mark that down, because it will happen, saith the Lord your God. Just rejoice. Can we rejoice with her? Can we celebrate with her? Can we thank God? He's reigning. He's reigning. He's reigning. Yeah. Glory. Daddy's big. He's got enough to spread around for everybody. Hallelujah. Yeah, and he's good. He's good, right, Sister Octavia? Yes, he is. Praise God. How's Brother Brenton enjoying that truck? He's enjoying it? Praise God. That's awesome. You still enjoying the Honda? Awesome. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you enjoying your life and walk in Christ Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything too hard for God? All right. So, I'm going to share, and I'm not going to be very long at all. As a matter of fact, I might just read the post, because I'm like, this is good. It's good to me, anyways, as I just release and write down. But this phrase came about yesterday as I was ministering to one of our men. And in speaking to him, it just came out. And then it became, for me, really the subject, the topic of the conversation in ministry. And the phrase is this, and it's in your post, and it opens up with this sentence: the most influential classroom your children will ever attend is your home. That's one of those statements that make you say, The most influential classroom your children will ever attend is your home. Because it's there that they see from the source of the two people that were brought together to conceive and give birth to them. That's where they're learning about life. And if we are who we say we are as the people of God, as Paul said to Timothy, he said it in this fashion: whoever names the name of the Lord, let them depart from iniquity. Because iniquity, which is the wicked, sinful nature of man, it is something that must be dealt with now. It's not something that gets dealt with after we die and we are fully transformed and we look just like Jesus and all. It's something that we deal with and we address now, because God deals with it and addresses it now. Because Jesus has gone to the cross, is not, listen carefully to what I'm saying, it's not a substitute for holy living. You get that? What do I mean by that? Christ went to the cross took our sin, our shame, our punishment to the cross, along with the handwriting of requirements that were against us all, even though the handwriting of requirements or the law itself was written for the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, God having delivered them out of 400 years of Egyptian bondage, captivity, slavery, if you will, under the rulership of Pharaoh. God delivered them out overnight with his mighty hand and outstretched arm, and then led them through the wilderness into the land of Canaan, if you will. On their way, he had Moses up on the mount, and Moses is receiving those handwriting of requirements, those commandments of the Lord, and he brings them down, and he sees the people acting up, and he gets so angry, he crushes those things, and then he crushes it in the water where they're celebrating and makes them drink it. Moses had a temper. Praise God, he had a temper. His temper came out of the promised land. Even though he was sorrowful for what he did, it couldn't make up. And God says, no, you can't go into the land. You know what you did. So let's go ahead and have an honorable burial for you. I'm going to bury you. I'm going to conduct your funeral. I'm going to do the eulogy. Nobody's going to be here, you and I. And I'm going to give you an honorable burial. And God did. But the children of Israel, the law was written and given to them so that they would live in a manner that would please God and distinguish them from all the other nations of the world. Because that's what God was simply trying to do to them, to let them see that there's a difference between God and the world, or the devil, or the darkness that the world was in. And so God had Moses write those handwriting of requirements, and it wasn't just limited to the 10. I think they had a total of 613, something like that, commandments that they had, that they were living by. But Jesus took the handwriting of requirement that was not only exposing the sin in the lives of the children of Israel, but exposing the sin in the lives of the entire world. And so when Jesus went to the cross, he took the handwriting of requirements and removed them out of the way so that now we can come to God through faith. And in faith in what Jesus did for us, now we have the nature of God. We have the Spirit of God, if you will. We have the Word of God. We have the favor of God. We have the blessing of God. We have salvation now. We can live not when we die and go to heaven, but we can live that here right now. We're not perfect, but we do strive for perfection. Amen. We do want to grow and mature in the faith. That's being perfected. The imperfections are being worked out, and the perfections are being worked in, that we as sons and daughters will be a good representation of him as his ambassadors in this earth with the message of salvation that nobody else has but the children of God. The Jews don't even have it if they don't repent and receive Jesus, because they will have people trying to look into the statutes and commandments of the old covenant or the law of Moses and trying to justify themselves to be saved. But the Bible tells us it's by grace through faith that we are saved. It's not a result of our works, the workings of the law, lest anybody should brag or boast. God saved me. I kept the law. Then it's based on my good works. No, we are saved by grace through faith. We don't deserve salvation, but God has freely given us salvation. We can't even earn salvation because our righteousness in and of itself is as filthy rags before God. We know what that literally means. It's disgusting in the sense of when you see what God equates our righteousness to. So with that being said, you know, we can't be justified by the law, so Jesus removed the law out of the way, and now salvation comes through him. And this is for all of us richly to enjoy, and not while blending and mixing in with a nature of iniquity, a wicked, sinful nature. No, God wants to expunge the wicked nature and establish holy presence within us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost comes into us, and the Holy Ghost does not become unholy. Holy Ghost comes into us and he remains holy. But what he does establish a holy residence. Hallelujah. That's the dining and the supping and the cleansing and the purging and the purifying, if you will, that the work, the word, the blood, and the spirit of truth are at work, just removing those things. And it just brings about maturity and growth. So we can represent Jesus well on this earth. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds, but we're also being conformed into the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. They're both going on at the same time. That's perfection. That's where our perfection comes. It can't come from anything human or because it's all imperfect because of sin. And so the wages of sin is what? So you don't get life from sin. You get death from sin. And even after we're saved, if we go out and sin, sin has the same payment. It don't change payments for us. Ah, praise God. It does not change payments. The benefit is still the same, death. And so we will find ourselves sowing to our wicked nature to be crucified, banished on the cross, if you will. We'll find ourselves sowing and we'll reap. And as Paul says, they who sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Corruption leads to death. It does not lead to life. And so the things that we want to do in our lives, sowing to our spirit man, sowing to our new man, the new man on the inside of us, sowing to the life of God that is within us now. And in sowing into that, we reap life. And in that life, it just drives darkness out. Hallelujah. It drives it out. It drives it away. And so with that being said, It's like we come to the home and our children that are being raised up, the Word of God tells us to raise them up in fear and admonition of the Lord. And God even said in the Old Covenant, now, just because the Old Covenant is Old Covenant, it doesn't mean that every word in the Old Covenant is no longer in force, if you will, as if it's all obsolete. No, there are that just, you know, they go from beginning all the way up until the end. They don't wither or fade away. It's the word of God, if you will. And so when Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, he said, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll just touch on this real quick. When you get there, say amen. And if you need more time, say hold up. I got a couple hold ups. What's on the screen for you? Hallelujah, like that. Praise God. Let me be still and be serious. Verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You can see right there that God places a premium on his word, to the point where he says, we shall teach our children diligently. We shall teach our children diligently. We shall teach our children diligently. The most influential classroom that our children will attend. It's not the elite Montessori schools or private schools or what are these other ones? They're like an extension of public school, charter schools or high school or, you know, public or private, you know, that sort of thing, or Christian. When I say Christian, I'm not belittling anything that I just said. I hope you don't take it that way. But it's not there. It's the most influential is in the home. That is the most influential classroom because it's there where the children see the two most important people in their lives. The very ones that God brought them into the world through. And in the home, you have greater, more intimate times together. Even though they go to school and they're at school how many hours a day? 6 hours or something like that. I forget how many instructional minutes they have to fulfill each day, and they have to fulfill so many days, 120 days or something like that out of the year. I forget exactly those numbers. But even still, the most intimate times are at home. And see, what you get at home is supposed to be stronger than what you get anywhere else. And as the people of God, the church, the home for the people of God, the home is, I'll say it like this, should be a replica of the church. In other words, here is our classroom. We have our superintendent, Holy Ghost, who's in charge, who releases the instructions to give to the people of God. It's not just instructions that are given. This is life that is being given, if you will. And it's fellowship. It's coming together with a community of those who are like precious faith that believe the same way, serve the same God. And fellowship, communion, communicate with each other and exchange with one another, edifying, building up, strengthening one another as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Some of us still believe that Jesus is coming, and he's coming in our time. And if he does not come in our time, we will die in faith believing that he's coming. And what will happen is since we didn't get to be raptured here from the earth to meet the Lord in the air, we will be with the Lord before those who do get raptured, because the ones that are still here on earth shall be caught up together with us to meet the Lord in the air. They're not going to be, you know, more blessed than us, but we'll be like, boom, we'll be, it's going to happen so quick. Paul describes it as in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than you can blink your eyes. That's how quick it's going to happen, and we shall be clothed. Now, those who have died and go on, they're going to be manifest in their glorified body. But in our being raptured, woo, praise God, we're raptured out of this old nature, this old body, if you will. We are clothed in the robes of righteousness. We are clothed with our new house that is reserved for us in heaven. Oh, praise God. And so I believe that. Praise God. I believe in the rapture. I believe it's going to take place before the tribulation. I ain't going to be here for the tribulation. I ain't afraid of the tribulation because I have Jesus. But why be here if the Lord is indicating to me that he's going to take me out of here before that time comes? God said on this side of it, he has not appointed me to wrath. So I believe the word of God. How about you? And so anyways, understanding that, how things are going to, you know, transition, if you will, it's like, does that mean that now that we're under the new covenant and the Old Testament is Old Testament? And so does that mean now that we as parents don't have a responsibility to teach our children diligently God's word, and that we don't have a response? We no longer have to speak the word in our house. We no longer have to speak it when we rise up and when we lay down. We no longer have to speak it when we go out. And when we come in, we no longer have to speak this. It's not all that important anymore. Does it mean that that has passed away? Certainly not. God would not have us to be ignorant. He wants us to study to show ourselves approved unto him, like he told Timothy. Oh, but I ain't no pastor. You don't have to be a pastor, but you are a leader.
Hallelujah. Somebody's watching your life looking to follow. Somebody's watching you to see if you really believe in what you say you believe. Somebody's looking at you to see how you live your life. And so you have to know yourself. And as we said before, and we say again, time and time again, you can't just bank off of, I mean, this is good. If I wasn't the pastor or apostle of this church, I would still attend this church. God's doing too much in our midst to want to be anywhere else, if you will. Oh, it's fine to be able to hide in a congregation of thousands, but you don't grow as well as you do. Even teachers want smaller class sizes. Why? So they can be more effective in reaching the students, because students get lost in the shuffle and they don't have time to be able to get to each one because there's so many of them. So they want reduced class sizes. Now, we don't have the mindset that we just want to keep small, stay small, like, you know, some cities. We don't want to grow. We don't want to, you know, too many people move in, and all of the problems and things like that. No, we want that traffic coming in. Why? Because we have something to give them. We don't want a big church just for the sake of having a big church and to be running around and say, well, you know, I got a big church. How many people you got coming? Oh, I got 10,000 coming. How many of them are saved? Probably two. That's me and my wife. Sorry, I just, you know. Many times, the only ones that are convinced and convicted of the truths of God are the pastor and the wife. It's not always that way, but many times. That's why they get blessed and the congregation doesn't, because they're hearing but not applying. You can't be like that. You got to hear and then you got to apply. And we should be leading by example. Our faith should be following our talk. And if that's not happening, we need to check ourselves for one. And y'all need to check us out too. Like, I need to see some kind of an example before me. Somebody walking the walk, somebody living the life, and somebody experiencing the blessing and favor of God. So that I know. Why? Because dad wants that for each and every one of his sons and daughters. He's not running short of supply. Dad is like this. If stuff got low, it will increase on its own. Jesus, with the five loaves and two fishes, he fed the multitude. And then they took up baskets afterwards. And all they had was the loaves and the fishes. It wasn't enough to minister to the multitudes. But what did Jesus do? He just held it up, blessed it, and then gave it to his disciples to pass out. And they just kept coming back, and it's just more in each. Nobody said, where are you getting this from? You know, is there a conveyor belt from the bakery and the sea? I mean, this stuff is just coming, and it's cooked too, praise God. You know, I'm being a little facetious, but you understand, he does not run out of supply. The only reason that the widow ran out of oil is because she ran out of vessels to pour into. If she'd have had more vessels, the oil would have kept flowing. When she asked her sons, do we have any more vessels? No more vessels. The oil dried up. Dad's supply is in abundance. He does not run out. This is why we don't have to panic. We see somebody getting blessed. Well, praise God. We celebrate with you, brother. We celebrate with you, sister. We're rejoicing with you because God is good and he hasn't run out of supply. So we look forward to your blessing, to your breakthrough, to your healing, to your miracle. We look forward to celebrating with you. That's why you're celebrating about the people, whether, you know, small or large. If God has done something for you, we ought to celebrate and rejoice. Hallelujah. So all of this comes back to, you know, that classroom, the most influential classroom your children will ever attend is your home. Because they will look at mom and dad and see how they do things. That can work good or bad. If mom and dad do what God tells them to do, it's going to work out for good. It's got to. God's word don't return to him void. He accomplishes what he pleases, prospers in the thing that he sent it to do. He is the God who sees the end from the beginning. So he knows what he's talking about. We try to figure out what's going to happen. Dad already knows what's going to happen. He knows the end from the beginning. Before he starts a thing, he already sees the finish. And so with that being said, it's like we hold fast to the word. So now the impartation of that word, as God said, teach them diligently, meaning don't just lightly do this. Don't just skim this. And don't just read it to them. He says, teach them diligently. Now, when we move over to Joshua, we see something else about the teaching of the word. But before we jump over there, let's just go back to verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And listen to this. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Well, they didn't have television back in that day, so they didn't have no problems. Matter of fact, that's all they had to talk about. They didn't have bingo. They didn't have, you know, horseshoes. They didn't have basketball, sports. You know, they didn't have all of these things. So even if they did have them, that ordinance would still be the same. Dad looks at a lot of stuff that we look at as fun and entertaining. Dad looks at as idolatry, something that has supplanted or replaced his presence, his attention, his way of doing things. We've allowed so many things to, somebody was mentioning about distraction and things like that. We've allowed ourselves to become so distracted from the weightier matters. And then we stress over the gnat. Because a lot of times the things that we stress over, it's just a gnat in Dad's eyesight. I'm going to say that again. A lot of the things that we stress over, it's just a gnat in Dad's eyesight. What do you do with a gnat if it lands on you? And that's what Dad can do to the things that stress us. Jesus, when he said, don't worry, he wasn't suggesting. He even said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I mean, does worrying increase you? Praise God. Does worrying make you more confident, more stronger? No, it's the exact opposite. Worry will open up the door for sickness. It opens up the door for stress. It opens up the door for panic and fear. Worry is not our friend. And Jesus says, don't worry. Hallelujah. He says, I've overcome the world. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Yeah. And so it's like this still applies for us now. He says, you shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Now, we can take a picture setting. One of these days I might do it. I see it oftentimes, but I just don't do it. Put a dining table up here with chairs around it and have a family come up here and do a little skit thing. But we're not doing that today anyways. But picture sitting at the table, if you will. Or just picture being in the home, if you will. Just examine what happens when you're in the home. And then look at it from what God's perspective is. Dad is saying, when you sit down in your house, talk about my word. When you walk by the way, talk about my word. When you lay down, talk about my word. And when you rise up. Now, our thing is it ain't all that important. It don't require all of that. But look at Dad and how he's, through his servant Moses, speaking to the people. Look at God's perspective on the authority and power and necessity of his word. Because a lot of our situations and circumstances are a direct result of either ignorance of his word or rebellion against the authority of his word. But Dad is like, my word is the answer. Speak it to the thing. Speak it to the sickness. Speak it to the fear. Speak it to the stress. Speak it to the lack. Speak my word over that thing. Release my word. Life is in my word. It will manifest and it will come to pass. It will not return to me void. Release the authority and power of my word in and through your life, and especially into the lives of your children. So when we sit with our kids, what do we talk about? These are some outstandings because, you know, it's easy to teach in the sense that you can see the truth, but then walking it out, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where we have to go against the things that are trying to come against us to shut us down and think that it ain't all that, it ain't all that necessary, it don't require all of that. We need to get rid of that spirit right there, right now. We just need to expunge it out of our vocabulary, out of our thought life, if you will, that, you know, that is inadequate for a child of God to think, to meditate on, or to even release out of our mouths, because we are snared by the words of our mouth. We are trapped by the words of our mouth. Death and life are in the power of you see that? You got unclued. Yeah. And we have to examine ourselves to see what it is that we're releasing. Are we releasing life or are we releasing death? Because what we say matters. Jesus says it like this: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the reservoir of the heart, that central location of the individual, where, you know, everything basically resides concerning life for that individual. It's the most essential part of your body outside of the brain itself. But he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if the heart is flooded with, we can use the word negativity, or we can use the word evil, or we can use the word just abominable stuff. If it's full of that, that's what's going to come out of the mouth. But if the heart is full of the word, if the heart is full of truth, if it's a new heart with a new word and a new life that comes from God, out of that mouth is come the life, the Zoe, the word of God. And God says, release that diligently into our children. Again, what is the most influential classroom for your children? It's not private school. It's not public school. It's not private universities. It's not public universities. It's in the home. Because if we don't do our job there, they're definitely going to do their job out there. They'll transform them into who they want them to be and what they want them to think and how they want them to live. They're confused out there. But we're not confused. We have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I thought that was pretty good because it's based on God's word and not my opinion. Hallelujah. And so Dad places a premium. He's like, you got to speak this thing, speak this thing, you got to speak this thing. Let's flip over to Joshua. Moving rather quickly here. God says in verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, you shall not cease in speaking this word. It doesn't mean that you get the word and you say nothing. It means you don't stop speaking this word.
and to really get that word in you and to really have that word come forth out of you, you have to meditate on that word. You have to ponder over it, if you will. You have to mutter it. You have to speak it. You have to go into it until it gets into you, until you become it. Amen. I mean, you're swallowing it down. You're bringing it up. You're swallowing it down. They use the analogy of a cow. A cow has how many? 7 stomachs. I forget how many stomachs it has, but that cow will take the food in and then bring the food up and then take and bring it up and stuff like that. He's milking it for all it's got. Every nutrient in that thing is going into that cow. When he wastes, it ain't nothing but waste. Praise God. And so we milk the word of God for everything that it has to offer. And then we release it into our children, the home. This is a responsibility as parents. Parents aren't babysitters. They are guardians. They are parents, not friends, parents. You have a responsibility in raising up your kids in the fear and admonition of God. It's not the church's responsibility. The church's responsibility is teaching you and discipling you. And if you don't want to be discipled and you don't want to be taught, you ain't got nothing to give to your kids except a whole bunch of worldly wisdom. And then you send them into the world that's all confused, and your kids are confused, and they're taught by others, and they have a greater influence and impact on your kids than you do. When dad anointed you. How many of you appreciated the worship today? What was different about it? If you can say, 1, 2, 3, time's up. Was it, come here, Sister Michaela. Was it Sister Michaela that made the difference? She has a distinctive voice of her own. She comes from the loins of Minister Aaron Aquino, and the womb of Sister Kim Aquino, and I had the privilege and honor of naming her. Praise God. You love me?
Yes.
Was I heavy?
No.
Okay. Her parents have an anointing. They've been raised up in the house. She is one that's born in the house. She was birthed into this thing. I just saw a T-shirt before I came up here. I saw a putty cat. Praise God, I'm getting tongue-tied. I saw a T-shirt, and the T-shirt said, I'm born into this. Praise God. You got to do something, get a sign or something about these sayings that the Lord is releasing. She was born into it. Minister Killings was raised up in it, but Zariah and Henry Aaron Killings the second was born into it. Yeah. Minister Daniel Patton, Daniel Arthur Patton, and Sister Diana Patton came into it. But Elizabeth Joseph Henry. Praise God. And Samuel Arthur Patton were born into it. Hallelujah. Glory. And today you saw that manifest on the platform. It's not the only time, and it definitely won't be the last time. They're born into it. It's fruit. We want to see that. See that. Our kids get it. You got it young. You are so blessed. Don't let the pressure get to you. Don't let the peers get to you. Don't let nobody. You guard and protect what's on your life and in your life. Yeah. Yeah. And so, thank you. I love you so much. It wasn't so much her. She's a young vessel. And she's strong
in her faith, and it demanded the anointing to come down on her to minister in praise and worship and to just take it. Take it. They don't have to run with it. They can just take it and use it for God's glory. But see, that's what Dad wants. He wants it out of each and every one of us. He wants us all fired up. Yeah, in whatever gifts, talents, and abilities he has instilled in us, he wants us to walk in the boldness and with divine access to him that it may display his glory. It wasn't Michaela. It was Jesus in Michaela. It was the anointing of God on Michaela. And that same anointing abides on you and in you to do great exploits, bring glory and honor and praise to his name. Stand on your feet. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. Yeah. Yeah. See what Dad is like? No, man, don't treat this like it's some ordinary thing. This is like some common thing has happened to you. Dad had to deal with Peter. He's like, Peter, because Dad wanted to use him to preach to the Gentiles. And Peter still got a Jewish mentality and mindset. You know how it is that we don't have any affiliation with you Gentiles. We don't come into your houses and we don't allow you into the temple. So why have you summoned me? And Cornelius begins to share with him the vision. And Peter's like, well, the Lord did speak to me on the roof. Did tell me not anything common that he has cleansed. So I guess Dad's doing something different. Dad wants to do different things in and through us. Nothing that will deviate from the holiness and the lifestyle that he calls us to. But a people to bring them into what we come into. We don't want to become so familiar and accustomed to it that we take it lightly or for granted or like, oh, this happens all over. Oh, this don't happen all over. Oh, it works for them, but it don't work for me. It's like, no, this is Dad. This is God operating in our midst, and it's for anybody and everybody. And so the strength that she exhibited was not her own gifts, talents, and abilities. That was operating under the unction and the anointing of God. The atmosphere to clear up and the glory to come down and for Dad to release and impart to the lives of his people. So Dad says, teach diligently. The most influential classroom that your children will ever attend is what? The home. Not some Ivy League university. It's the home. Well, I didn't have that, but you got it here. Praise God. You got it here. Hallelujah. You not only have it here, but now you can take it home. Praise God. It may not have been in your home, but let it be. It may not have been in the home you grew up in, but let it be in the home that you own and possess. Amen? Yeah, you speak of this thing when you rise up. You speak of this thing when you lay down. You speak of this thing when you go out. You speak of this thing when you come in. You post it on the doorpost. What you doing? I'm putting the word up. Hallelujah. Putting the word up. What you putting on the refrigerator? I ain't putting no don't eat this butter or this milk or drink this milk. I'm putting on here the word of God. When I think about food, I want the word of God first. I want to see God's word. I want to happen. Never mind. I was about to go into Jacob and Laban when Jacob got that vision and the Lord showed him and he peeled the trees and put them right before the place where the sheep, the goats came to feed. And as they're feeding and as they're drinking, they're looking into what Jacob wanted to bring them into. And what happened was because they were intent in extracting what they said that it produced in their all. You understand what I'm saying? It produced in their offspring. So now you got sheep or goats, you got them coming up there. They all one color. But they're looking at something that an anointed man of God, it was foolishness. Who goes around cutting holes in a poplar tree branch, if you will? It was foolishness, but God was in it. He was anointed to do this. And so they come there, and while they're feeding, and then when they start mating, all of a sudden they start giving birth to what they saw. Let God's word be before you. So you give birth to what you see. And what you see is in divine alignment with the word that you read. Because that's what it's all about, really. You want to give birth to the purposes of God. You don't want to give birth to an Ishmael when God has ordained for you to have an Isaac. Makes sense? All right, give the Lord a hand of praise. I'll stop. Thank you, Father. Thank you for those watching live stream, Facebook. We bless you. Those watching Ustream, we bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. If you're not saved, getting saved is simple. Just repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you, cleanse you of your sins, and make you a new creation, and new things will come. New things are of God. And if you just do that right now, the Lord will meet you right where you're at, and then go out and tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. We said we were going to lay hands, and so we will do so for anybody that wants to come forward. You don't have to, but if you desire, praise God. Father, we release what you want to release. What you want to release is far greater than anything that we could desire, ask, or even think. We know what we'd like to release, and we know what we'd like to receive. But above that is what you want. And so with the impartation, may everything come into divine alignment with your will. I hold these individuals up that are before me now.